Good morning, everybody. Thank you to our song leader and piano player. Appreciate that. As we're all standing, if you have your Bibles with you today, obviously because I'm not Brother Harlan and I don't have a PowerPoint, I always say someday, but I'm not gonna keep saying that. I don't. I don't have enough faith or confidence in myself to make that promise when it comes to making a PowerPoint. But if you have your Bibles with me, following along, tablet, phone, Bible itself. I'm over Psalms 146, and our text verse is Psalm 146 and verse 5. And verse 5 says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Please join us to go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this opportunity you gave us all of us to be in your house this day, Lord, that we can be together as a congregation, fellowship one with another, that we have this time to honor and worship and give you the glory that you deserve, Lord. I pray that as we proceed through these services, that we can remember to be thankful for the sacrifice of your Son, that we can remember to take the portions of this word and apply it to our hearts and lives, be better examples for you, be good witnesses to those that are around us in our respective communities and respective areas, Lord. Pray that be with the many prayer requests in everyone's hearts and minds, spoken and unspoken alike, Lord. You know the needs that we all have and the wants, and I pray, Lord, that whatever your will be for our lives, that you help us to accept as holy just as it is. As we proceed through these services, Lord, I pray you help me to hide behind the shadow of the cross and only speak the words that need to be spoken. And if it does not touch all, that at least touches one, at the very least helps me be a better servant for you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. So Psalms 146, verse 5 was our text. I want to go ahead and read verses 1 through 10 here of Psalm 146. Starting with verse number 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being, as long as I live." This is saying there. Verse 3, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish." Slowing down just for a moment, verse 3 and 4 there, we see, folks, when it comes to moving forward for God, moving forward through our everyday tasks, whatever it is that we are tasked with, that relying too much on man, relying on what man has to say, isn't going to fare well for us. Verse 3 says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man." And to continue that, verse 4 says, "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to this earth." Well, what good do I have to say? My words mean nothing, my own personal words. What I'm sharing with you this morning is from the word of God. Those are God's words. Those ones will continue on. My breath will stop at some point. I will stop breathing. I will be put in the ground. I will be cremated. I don't know. You know, whatever my family decides to do with me, I will be in heaven. I don't care what you do with me. You know, I'm content with that. But my words can only mean so much. But God's words should weigh heavy and should weigh important. Continue on. Verse number 5 says, "Happy is he that hath the God." This was our text verse. "That has the God of Jacob for his help." We should be happy to have that God as our God, the one who's willing to help, the one who's willing to lead, the one who is on our side, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Verse 6, "which made heaven," and this is just all the more reason to have hope in this God, as we're going to see through the rest of these verses. This is what this God does. This is what my God does, what he's capable of doing. Verse 6, "my God made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord." The title of my sermon this morning is How to Be Happy. How to be happy. And folks, you can find so many ways in this old wretched world to find misplaced happiness. You know, the one of the references that I make to, and I'll continue to make through because it weighed heavy on my heart and I appreciate it, was that of my brother during a devotional at one of the fellowship meetings. And that was, we have a hole shaped like Jesus inside of us. And we can try and try and try to fill that hole with so many different things, but it's never completely filled. It's never quite satisfying. Think back to being a small child in that little red and blue block
or a circle thing that had the yellow blocks, and they're all shaped different. And you take the little X and you try to put it through the circle and it doesn't work. You take the square and try to put it through the X and it doesn't work. You know, it takes a specific shaped block to go through a specific hole. And that hole shaped like Jesus, the only thing that will satisfy it is Jesus. We have to put God in our lives. You want to find happiness, that's the truest way to find happiness, is find the Lord. And we could just end there, you know, as our pianist and song leader come forward, good job, know Jesus, we're done. But there's so much more to it than just that. What God wants to give us is fantastic. God will show us grace, he'll show us mercy, he'll show us love. He wants to give us blessings, he wants us to worship and talk to him and have a relationship. He wants us to have communication. There's so much more to it. And no, there is not enough time to go through all of it. And nor would you want me to go through all of it. I'd be like, no, I want to go to lunch at some point, Brother Chris. You know, I got things I got to do here. The list of the great things of God are so great and so vast and so awesome that, folks, we don't have enough time to go over all of it. But when I talk about being happy, we will find ourselves using different things to try to fill that hole shaped like Jesus in our lives. We will use things of this earth to try to find a superficial happiness. You know, I find joy in golfing until I actually go golfing, and then I wonder why I do it, because then I get irritated at it. But when I'm out there and you hit that one good shot, you're like, oh, this is why I do this. I enjoy it. I find happiness in it. You know, I find happiness in spending time with my kids and spending time with my family. We're doing a lot of overtime at work, and so whenever I'm not doing overtime at work, I am happy to be home because I enjoy being at my house. I enjoy being with my family. I find joy and happiness when I come to church. Those things aren't superficial, folks. There's joy here. The golf, that one's superficial. That one's not going to last. I don't imagine I'm going to be, you know, up in heaven glorifying God while playing a round of golf. That's not anywhere in the Bible that I have read. You know, I would have a great game, I'm sure, if it was up in heaven, but I don't foresee that being the case. But we find things to put in there. So folks, when it comes to being happy, make sure we're choosing the right things. Make sure that they're based on what God's will is, what God wants us to do, what God wants us to accomplish, and follow that happiness. See what it can be and see what it can turn into. Now, and bear with me, because I looked at the word, said the right word, said the wrong word, but we're going to do an acronym for happy. So I have 5 points, bear with me, one for each letter of happy, H-A-P-P-Y. Each is going to stand for something, and we're going to try to make our way through it and not dilly-dally too much. Otherwise, we'll stop at hap or hapapa. You know, we want to make it all the way through happy, do we not? So I'll try not to beat a dead horse, and I'll try not to talk your ear off too much. But starting with H, to be helpful. How to be happy? Be helpful. If you turn with me over to the book of 1 Timothy, I'm going to read from chapter 6 and verse number 8. See, this is how Brother Harlan saves time. He has it up on a PowerPoint. How about that? 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I lied. It's not verse 8. It's verse number 18, because I can't read. Verse 18 says, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Willing to do good and ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Folks, does anyone find joy when you do something nice for somebody else, when you help? You know, there's a certain part of me where I think it's kind of hardwired in. One, I'm told as a child of God that I'm supposed to be helpful. I'm supposed to be a servant to others. I'm supposed to be humble. And there's also the hardwired in that, you know, Dad said, you hold the door. You help someone when they've dropped something. You help pick things up. And so I'll find myself, we were in Walmart not that long ago. We were down in Salem, and these two gals were struggling to put a microwave into their cart. I'm like, do you need help? And I stopped over and went to help them put it in there. And it feels good to help people, not because I'm so great or I'm so grand, but it felt good to offer assistance. Because if we have the ability to do so, shouldn't we? If we're going to be effective witnesses of God, because, I mean, our Savior, Jesus, came to this earth humble. He was a king. He's perfect. But he came as a servant. He washed his apostles' feet. Look at all the works that he did. He came to serve others, to prove his deity, to prove who he was. Now, if I'm going to use Jesus as an example, I should be willing to help people. When someone is in need, I should be willing. And let's be honest, there's times where you look at your phone, you're like, so-and-so's calling me right now. They need something. You're like, do I want to answer my phone right now? I've done that with work. When it says private, I know that the jail is calling me. I'm like, someone didn't show up to work. They want me to go in. Let's just hide that phone and pretend I didn't hear that. You're like, oh, it was on silent. Sorry. No, you look at it and begrudgingly hit the button. I'm available. I can help. Not always excited about it. Not always happy about it. But I help somebody out. Folks, we face choices in our lives every day to either be helpful and to be a good servant. Because like I said, joy comes with it, does it not? But you want to find happiness, be helpful. Be helpful. Selfish people are also discontent with the world. They're discontent. They're not happy. And they don't find joy in how things are because, woe is me, I need more. You know, we live in a time of entitlement. And people want more because they think they deserve it. Well, folks, I should give more because I know Jesus died for more than just me. So I should be willing to give more, not expect more coming my way. People oftentimes are just working for, as I said earlier, sinful pleasures. They're working for something that is going to fade, like golfing. You know, things of that nature. They're just working for themselves. Helpful people, we're happy people. Find the joy in helping. Moving on from H, helpful. I say we got to make it through all of them, so we're not stopping at hap. Is A, adventurous. Adventurous. We got a couple members that just made it back from a 6-week excursion into Alaska, right? That was adventurous, was it not? And I imagine you probably want to do it again at some point. In your next life. I see a no and a yes. No, we're not doing it again. I had the opportunity to do a motorcycle ride from Arizona to home. First day, I thought I was going to die. The rest of the days, fantastic. I want to do it again. It was amazing. People who get the opportunity to go and do certain things, you know, that sense of adventure. I want to go achieve this. I want to go do that. And it doesn't have to just be travel. Folks, we can be adventurous without traveling the world. The whole point of being adventurous is that you're willing to step out to go do something. That you have the courage and the bravery to take the next step, to go and be something different. To act upon the impulses that God has given you, saying, hey, I want you to do this. And you're like, yes, God, let's go. Let's be adventurous. Let's turn over to the book of Philippians. In chapter 4, this is a verse that a lot of us are aware of. Because let's be honest, where does courage and bravery come from? For a child of God, it should come from God. He should give us the hope, the ability to look to Him, to be able to take those steps. Philippians 4:13, it says, and most of us know this verse, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So when it comes to being adventurous, I'm going to rely on the one who can give me the courage to go through that adventure. You know, why do people fail to take the next step? They lack courage. They're not ready for it. They're scared of whatever the next step may hold. And folks, I mean, I've been there myself. I don't want to take that next step. I don't want to go and do the next thing. You know, what if it's an adventure that I'm not ready for? Well, the more that we start putting ourselves into the picture, the more I start worrying about whether or not I'm ready, the more I'm relying on me or expecting myself to do it and not God to do it. So truly, my adventure isn't me going off on my own. My adventure is following God down the path He wants me to go. But I've got to be willing to go into the wild, so to speak, whenever He calls me to do so. Are we willing to be adventurous? Are we willing to take the next steps that need to be taken? Folks, that's a self-reflection question. I can't answer it for you. But once again, whenever you go and you do those adventures, when you take those steps and you finally do that one thing you've been wanting to do, and sure, sometimes you find out you're like, this is for the birds. I don't want to do this ever again. You know, you find out that traveling all the way up to Alaska with your trailer was not what you want to do again, but you're glad you did it. You're like, hey, I accomplished it. I made it. Me doing the motorcycle trip, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I made it. I do want to do it again. You know, that's one that I don't want to wait till the next life, as was said. You know, I want to do that again. But there's always worry. Well, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? Folks, when we put doubts into our mind, it will hinder our walk with God. If we want to remain faithful, if we want to remain willing to walk, we have to put those doubts aside. We have to continue to act in faith. We have to continue to be courageous and be brave. Which, let's be honest, there's a lot of times I probably look like the reflection of the Cowardly Lion from The Wizard of Oz. Like, I don't want to do that. We get content, we get comfortable where we're at and what we're doing. And a space of contentment can be a good thing, and it can be a really bad thing as well. Because when you grow too content to the point where you don't want to take any steps, folks, that's a dangerous place in our relationship with God. We need to be willing to move forward. We need to be willing to take the next steps. Once again, happy Christians, they should reach out to be adventurous, to go to adventurous places, to see, to go, to do. All these different aspects. Not just, hey, that sounds like a great trip, but I'm not actually going to do it. No, let's do it. Let's see what it is. Let's see what's different about it. Let's be something different. Let's do something different. Something that's out of the norm. Once again, I'm sure all of us have whatever that vacation may be. You think, oh, there's that one vacation I want to do, and something has always held us back. And you finally do it. You finally achieve it. You finally get there. And you're like, wow, I'm glad I did this. Or you're like, wow, this was awful. That was not what I expected at all. But you come back from your trip, you're like, hey, I did it though. There's a sense of accomplishment. There's a sense of, hey, this was a fantastic experience, and I came away with more knowledge than I had before, whether it be knowledge of something great or something that was awful. You came away with something more. Folks, we may not always understand the adventure that God wants us to go on. We may not always understand the path. And you may get into the middle of it and be like, Lord, why did you bring me down here? What am I doing here? Because I don't understand. Well, take that next step of courage and keep following anyways. God has a plan. He has a purpose. But despite all of our little trips and things that we want to achieve, especially whenever family grows and you take more people with you, or you plan a big family endeavor. I love my family. Sometimes it's hard to find happiness when you're with your entire family. People can be vexing, can they not? We find that in the everyday world. We find that in our own families. People have a tendency to be vexing from time to time. But the true happiness that I find when I'm with my family is the fact that we're all together. Do you feel that same happiness when you're in church? When we're all together as brothers and sisters in Christ? How about when you go to association meetings, fellowship meetings, youth rallies, when youth rallies were happening? We don't hear about those a whole lot anymore. But during those times, it was something that was exciting. You should feel the comfort of being around someone you enjoy being around. Because once again, we go back to this example I gave before. Our common denominator, Jesus Christ. Our common denominator is God. So you should find joy and happiness in taking that trip to go somewhere. That adventure to go somewhere and be something and do something different. Find the joy in being with one another so that we can be better witnesses and better children of God. Moving from our A to our first P, how to be happy? Be positive. Be positive. And in my mind, immediately when I say that, I think of that little poster that has the B on it. It says, be positive. You know, be happy. Look for the grander things, I guess, in every situation. I joke, and I've said it before, that the beautiful thing about pessimism, because there's times where I feel like a pessimist. The beautiful thing about pessimism is that you're either constantly being proved right or you're pleasantly surprised. Folks, that's not really a good way to go through life, though, because you're still expecting it all to be bad. But in my mind, I sit there and I think about it logically. I'm like, it's not wrong either. But how different is it whenever you go into a room where you find someone who's just expecting it to all go awry compared to someone who's always looking for the best? Who do you find yourself being drawn towards? Who do you want to follow afterwards? Don't answer that, because sometimes it is the pessimist. You're just like, that person is way too happy. We have a deputy at the jail. I will not say his name because I know of. Here we are on the recording on Facebook. He has been referred to as the Golden Retriever. I was like, what in the world? I was like, what does that mean? And so I'm sitting there. Someone's like, oh, yeah, we've got this many people in booking and a Golden Retriever. You guys have a dog? And it's because, well, I mean, Golden Retrievers are typically happy dogs, are they not? He's the happy dog. He comes in every morning whenever the day shifts come in. He's like, good morning, day shift. And he just gets so excited. And he tells everyone hello. And you see all these people coming in, you know, not bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. They're just like, and they're just scowling at him as they walk to their post. And they're just not happy about it. They're like, I don't want to be happy right now. It's too early. But he always has a smile on his face. And he's always positive. And there's times I'm looking, I'm thinking, you're just too happy. No one's that happy. Well, guess what, folks? Sometimes people really are. They are just happy. You know, just because we face hardships doesn't mean that the whole world has fallen apart. Just because we have a trial or a tribulation or a hurdle to jump doesn't mean that the entire world is burning, which the world might be burning right now, but it doesn't mean that ours has to be. Looking at positiveness, we're staying in the book of Philippians chapter 4. We're just going to back up a few verses to 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If there is anything good that you can find in a situation, think on those things. We don't have to look at the negative aspect of everything. We don't have to look and say, well, this is probably how it's going to fall apart. Now, sure, you may have a job where you have to look for the potential errors. But when it comes to our attitudes and everyday walk of life, folks, we should look for the good things. We should strive to think on the positive things, the pure things, the fun things, the great things, whatever they may be. What's the greatest thing a child of God can think on to brighten their day? How about your salvation? You know, what did Dave say? Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. How many people remember that day? How many people remember the joy that they felt? How many people remember the joy that they felt and then they saw others feel when you told them? Didn't that make you excited too? The positive attitudes that everybody had about it? The tears in the eyes of my mom and my dad, the tears in the eyes of my grandmother and my papa. Folks, it was a positive thing. I should think back to that joy. Anytime I'm feeling sad, that's what I should think about. It should make me happy. I've had a weird couple days, I'm not going to lie, where I've had certain smells hit me a certain way and it's made me think of something. And it took me back to a place of being, of less responsibility, let's put it that way. I smelt a bottle of the milk and honey soap while I was at the store the other day. At the same time, Creedence Clearwater Revival was playing on the speakers above. And my best friend Kyle, I grew up with his house, his mom always bought milk and honey, and her favorite band is CCR. I was like, whoa, that took me right back to high school. I'm like, what in the world? You know, and it made me happy. It made me think of a good time. I thought of my friend Kyle's house. I thought of his mom. I thought of his dad. I thought, man, this is amazing. I was using one of my study Bibles. It still smells like my grandpa. And I don't know if it's just because my grandpa smelled like an old book or what, but it still smelled of my grandfather, of my papa. I thought, wow. And it made me happy. You know, I could have sat there and just dwelt like, you know, my grandfather has passed on. He's been gone for 20 years at this point. I could have been sad about that, but instead I thought, wow, you know, I get this opportunity to think about Papa. And then I sat there and I sniffed my Bible, you know. It's like if anybody walks in there and they'd be like, well, you really like your Bible, don't you? It's like, well, yes, I do, but it smells like my grandpa, you know. Finding those things, you know, they bring out a certain positiveness, a positivity that we need in our lives. And I'm not saying reflect on the past and stay in the past, because obviously, folks, we got to move forward, do we not? But when there's something good going on around us, just as in Philippians 4:8 there told us, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, just, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on that. Think on the good and let that dictate how your attitude is displayed. You know, I flip a switch. I'll be honest, I'm kind of good at it. And it's terrifying sometimes because I can go from smiling and being happy, and it's like once there's no faces, like, okay, flip it off. I can just do what I need to do. A little bit with self-preservation at work, you know, things were a little strange, a little weird. So I was like, I'm just going to back up a little bit, pretend I'm not here. Folks, our joy should continue on no matter who's around us. I stop and I think of that particular deputy, and he's probably smiling right now, to be honest. He's just that type of individual. And I've had brothers and sisters in Christ that I've talked to, and I was like, you know, I don't know if anyone's really that happy. And I've had people go, oh, Brother Chris, I am. It's like, well, good for you. Maybe I'm not right now. Well, folks, that's my problem, is it not? That's my fault, is it not? It's really easy sometimes for us to look at the burden of the world, the burden on our shoulders. That doesn't have to be on our shoulders, right? As a saved child of God, I can give the burden to God. He told me that. But sometimes it's easy to say, hey, this burden is very heavy. And so now I'm upset, or now I'm sad, or now I have a negative attitude. Folks, you have to let it get there. It doesn't put you there. You let it get you there. And I'm not saying that anyone's weak because they feel they're not feeling positive, because, folks, I've been there. But I'm saying we have to let ourselves get to that point. Now, yes, there are outlying circumstances, things going on that you may make it a little easier for us to get to that point. But folks, once again, when you start thinking of all the positive things that you can, the positive things we can focus on, the positivity of what the Bible tells us we're supposed to be looking at, that can bring us right out of any funk that we might find ourselves stuck in. It can bring us back to a place that we need to be, somewhere that is of a better nature, so to speak, for others to see and for us to be in. Imagine going to church and seeing every face frowning when you came in. No one ever smiled the entire time. Some people do live with a scowl on their face. I'm not going to lie. We've seen those individuals. You know, it does happen. But if no one ever found joy while they were in the house of God, I mean, would we feel comfortable? Would we feel welcome, especially as a visitor? Would we feel as if we're part of a congregation if no one ever smiled at each other? I've seen everybody in here smile at one point in time. You know, so no one has a permanent scowl. I know it. There's been smiles. Folks, we can find joy, can we not? And we can find joy in the fellowship that we have with one another. So let's be positive. You know, a lot of people have an I can't sort of attitude. The problem, once again, is we're starting that statement with I. The more I am in something, the less good is going to come out of it. The more God I put into something, the better the outcome will be. Moving on from our first P to our second one, we're going to look at being purposeful, having purpose. You know, when it comes to having joy, when it comes to having happiness, having a purpose is important, is it not? You know, if you don't have anything to aim for, to shoot for, to strive for, to achieve, will you find happiness? You know, what are you trying to do? Can you find true happiness without having a goal? I think what that is contentment. If you say, yes, I can without having a purpose, I think you found contentment. And as I said before, contentment can be very dangerous. Because if you've grown content with where you're at and what you're doing, that means you have no desire to learn more, grow more. We're at a bad spot. We should always have the desire to learn more about God. So everyone's purpose here, and this isn't just an I statement, this is for every saved child of God. Our purpose should always be to know more about our God. Just foundation right there, right off the bat, to know more about my God. The more I know about him, the better off I'm going to be. Of course, the first part of that is what? Having salvation. If we are a saved child of God, purpose to know more. If we're not a saved child of God, know Christ first. Share that with others. They can have a purpose. My purpose, to further the will of God. Looking at the book of 1 Timothy, I should have said keep a mark there since we just went back. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Follow after these things. That's a purpose, is it not? That's a goal, is it not? That's something to strive for, is it not? And folks, I mean, that is quite the list. And not all those things on that list are easy to achieve. But if you're striving to meet each one, guess what? That means you have a purpose. You have a goal. You have something that you're striving for, something you're wanting to do, something you're wanting to achieve. Life must be directed. Otherwise, it's stunted. It's shortened. It's defeated. It's dissipated. You know, we have to have a direction. You know, where does your moral compass point? You know, is it pointing toward, does it follow the alignments of God? Does it follow the alignments of what his word says? Or is my moral compass dictated by what makes me the happiest at that particular moment? Quote, happiest, end quote. Once again, using God to find the happiness is important, is the most important. Finding God to find your purpose is also very, very important. I don't know how many people have had to deal with it. I mean, we just had to do ours at work. Performance summaries. How many people enjoy doing performance summaries? Either the ones that, and now, because they want you to do them halfway yourself, and now we have to do more. It used to be once a year. Now we have about three, and I find it to be a little bit silly. Because it says, what's your goal for the next, you know, however many months? I'm like, to have a job. I don't want to be fired. I'm not doing anything to get me fired, but that's my goal. It's like, you only gave me 4 months to keep cooking food. I mean, what is my goal in this span of time? So like I said, seems a little silly sometimes, but it does remind me as an employee that I should have a purpose at my work. I should have a goal, something that I'm trying to achieve, something I'm trying to do. You know, whether it be trying to pursue, you know, a higher level of work or just be better at what I'm doing. It doesn't mean that I have to achieve management or be a supervisor. It just means I want to be a better employee of whatever I'm doing right now. But having a purpose is very, very important. We have quite a few folks that are retired. Do you have purpose in retirement? I looked directly at Brother Steve because he told me not that long ago that you're still just as busy. You know, you have more stuff that you're doing. You know, I was like, what in the world? You know, and I hear that a lot. You know, you finally had the time off. You're finally retired. You don't have to go to work. And you stay at home and you work. You know, because you have projects. I can finally work on these things now. And then I've also heard the same stories from similar stories. People saying, I got my projects done and then I was bored and I went back to work. You know, who knows what's going to happen? But having a goal, something to work towards, is important. You know, what they say, you know, an object at rest stays at rest, but an object in motion stays in motion. It's true for the human body, is it not? We got to keep moving, folks. We got to keep moving forward. Our life needs direction. Does your spiritual life need direction? Yes, absolutely. We need to make sure that we have given our spiritual life purpose as well. Yes, on an outside physical standpoint, for my job, I need to have a goal. Guess what? On a physical outside standpoint, in my spiritual walk with God, I need to have a goal. And that goal, to reach it, will involve me learning more about Him. Involve me opening my Bible, reading study books, reading commentaries. Now, we've got to remind ourselves, commentaries are written by men, and men have fallacies. You know, we have errors. We've got to be careful. You know how you overcome those fallacies and those errors? Learn more yourself. Have a purpose. Have a goal. Study. But we need to make sure that when it comes to deciding what we're going to do on a spiritual level, that we have put some goal in place. Folks, do you have a goal today? Do you have something you're trying to achieve? That is a self-reflection question that I can't answer. I told you at the very beginning of that point that yes, our goal is to know more about our God, but now you have to answer if you actually have it or not. What is your goal? How do you plan to achieve it? That was the other side of the summary that's never really fun to answer, is it? Great, you have a goal, but how are you going to get there? Like, oh, you mean I actually have to do something? I can't just write it down? I can't just say that I want to be more positive? I can't just say I want to have purpose? I can't just say I want to be adventurous? I actually have to do something? Like, oh, man. You know, put your, you know, your actions where your mouth is. You know, get into motion. Folks, it's just the same when it comes to serving God. We can say all the things that sound great, all these things that sound grand. But if we never actually take the step, did we have the purpose in our heart to achieve it? Did we have the purpose in our heart to actually serve Him? Self-reflection, we have to ask that ourselves. I can't answer it for you. Like that, we made it through the haps, the hap-a-pups. We made it to the why. We're going to make it through all five. Can you believe that? If this was Sunday school, I definitely would not have made it. I never make it through the Sunday school lessons. But the why of how to be happy is to be yielded. To be yielded to God. You know, I will constantly say, and I will always have it in probably almost every single lesson, regardless, is that we need to follow God's will. We need to listen to what it is. But do we ever want to follow God's will? You know, to be yielded to something is to stop, wait, and give the passage to the person that is leading. The person, the individual that is there, and you're going to follow and let it be the leader. Do you yield to God and let Him lead you? Self-reflection, folks. I can't make you yield. You can try forcibly to say, hey, you will listen. In your mind, if you don't want to, though, is it going to work? No. We have to make it a purpose, once again, in our minds, in our hearts, and based on our actions, to yield to God. Listen, hear, speak, think, feel, whatever God is wanting you to feel, hear, speak, think. Let him dictate and guide each and every single one of our senses and be yielded to his perfect leadership. Moving over to the book of Romans real quick. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And we're reminded at the very end that just giving your life for him, that is a reasonable service. That's a reasonable request. Look at what Jesus did for us. Is it too much to ask that we now live for him, given that he lived a perfect life, died a perfect sacrifice, and rose again? He gave all. He did all for us. So it is a reasonable request for it to be asked of us that we will follow, that we will use our lives to be a sacrifice for him, to be an example. You know, this whole living sacrifice thing, you know, sometimes we've had the lesson, I know a lot of us here have heard it, we know it, but to be a living sacrifice, usually when you hear the word sacrifice, it's something you have to give up, something that is then gone afterwards. Well, no, folks, this living sacrifice is us using our everyday walk, our everyday thought as a sacrifice for him, that we are going to do everything based on what God wants us to be yielded to him. Every day that I can take a breath, I should give the day to God. Because as soon as I'm not taking a breath, I'm going to be with God. I know where I'm going. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I have faith in my salvation. And because of my faith in that salvation, because of my faith in that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I should let him yield me, or I should be yielded to him, and I should be willing to lay my life every day as a sacrifice towards him, doing what he wants me to do. But once again, that's your body. Right? I know what I can do with mine. I know what I can say about mine. You've got to answer it yourself. It's not always easy to yield. It's not always easy to give up the power, relinquish the authority. It can be difficult. Pride gets in the way. I understand that. I don't want to be told what to do. I don't want to be manhandled. You're not the boss of me. Whatever phrase you want to throw out here, whatever you've heard your five-year-old yell at you, you're not the boss. It's like, well, yes, kid, I am right now. I will show you. Well, how many times have we said that to God? Well, you're not the boss of me. He's like, yeah, I am. I'm the one who's in charge here. Folks, yield to the one who has the power. Yield to the one who has the love, the grace, the mercy, the compassion. Folks, God has it all. He's a complete package. Yield to the one that wants to lead. Yield to the one that has a desire for us to have a relationship with him. And let him have his perfect work with us. You know, just as one of the songs that we sing and we've sang in the past, you know, you are the potter and I am the clay. And that's not the title, that's part of the lyrics. You know, what is the clay pot? What is the clay that's being molded? Tell the potter to do with it. You know, you're going to turn me into this. No. The potter has the choice, does he not? He can decide what he wants that clay to turn into. Now me, I'm not a good potter. And because of that, I know who I need to look to. A better potter. Who's a better potter than me? God's a better potter than me. I can only do so much. You know, you go, and I don't know if anybody has any experience making things out of clay, going to a pottery class. I've done one or two just way back in ye olden days, so to speak. Never made anything worth looking at. Wasn't meant for me. But look at God's creation. Look at what he was capable of doing. You know, just as we read in the very beginning, we look at all the different things that God has created. Not just us, but this world that's around us. The beauty in nature. The beauty in family and other human beings. Yes, we have our fallacies, but God made some beautiful creatures, did he not? We can be great, but we can only be great through him. So as our pianist and our song leader come forward to get through this last little bit of happy, folks, let's be helpful. Let's be adventurous. Let's be positive. Let's have purpose. And lastly, yield ourselves to God. As we all stand and we sing what page?